Welcome to Stepping Stones, L&D Career Journeys Explain, the podcast that shares the how of fellow L&Ders. I'm your host, Christina Rogers, and today I have John Hinchcliffe as my guest. I'm very excited. John and I connected through a platform that he created called GLDC, as a Global Learning and Development Community. And it is through that that I got to know him, and I won't get into detail that's part of our discussion today, but how he got into L&D. And it has been fascinating to learn of his past and even see what he currently is undertaking and no doubt the future that is in front of him. So I asked John to join me. He's coming to us from the UK. And so welcome, John. So glad to have you.
Thank you very much for having me.
Of course. And so aside from making great strides in the world of L&D, the reason I invited John to share his story is because it's one of intriguing twists and turns that is fantastic as far as inspiration for those of you making your way into the L&D world, noting that the path is not necessarily a straight one, as we've come to learn. And it's wonderful affirmation for those of you who have also found your way in similar waters through the L&D path and striving to ever continue to grow your career. So with that said, John, share with us your humble beginning that one day led you into the L&D world.
Gosh, humble beginnings. I mean, if we take this really, really far back, let's go with the honesty and nothing but the truth on this. Academically, I was terrible.
Yes.
Really, really bad. Written off through educators, so primary school, high school, really, really written off because I have quite a wild imagination. And so for me to focus on geography and history and those kinds of things, it was tough. But I knew that in order to actually do bigger things in the world, I needed qualifications. I needed a degree. Mm-hmm. So really for me, I knuckled down and I went to university and I studied business because I was actually going to become a banker. So my big focus was stocks and shares. And, you know, if I made money, then I'd be happy. That was the emphasis. That was always the thing that was in my head that had been drilled into us through education.
Yeah.
Then I got my qualification and I went to work for a bank. And I found out I really didn't enjoy it. And that was my first initial stint was, yeah. You know, within there, I was working at a bank, didn't enjoy it. And then my sister, who was living in Malaysia at the time, gave me a message and she said, do you want to go to Japan? And I said, yes. And she said, do you want to work in Japan? And I said, why not? So she said, look, there's an interview on Monday in London for a company who teaches English in Japan. I've got you an interview. So I turned up to this interview. I thought I did absolutely terrible. And then a couple of weeks later, got through a package saying, congratulations, you're moving to Yokohama, Japan. And we started on this date. So I moved out to Japan to become an English teacher. All the while, the company was being sued by the Japanese government, which is the one place that you definitely want to be sued by.
Worse.
So we had all this chaos and I got kicked out of Japan because my visa expired. They didn't pay our rent on our apartment. So all my stuff was outside my apartment. So I had no job, nowhere to live, no money because they didn't pay us. And so that was my initial kind of dipping my toe into learning. So going from there, came back to England, broke, living on a sofa. And I went back to the bank, but I went in a lower role because I thought I didn't really want to be in the stock shares, those kinds of things. I went into property. So I was doing an admin job and we used to do morning stand-ups, but they were dull. They were dry as a biscuit. Mm. And so really for me, I wanted to bring a bit of showmanship to it, a little bit of joie de vivre. And so when my manager was away, I took over the morning stand-ups and I just brought a little bit of something, you know, finding out what's going on with people's lives, being a bit excited, arranging staff little gatherings after work, just that people connected. Word got back to my manager and she said, you know, really, people were loving it. And then it kind of came about that then I started doing mentoring. So I was looking after like new hires and people who wanted to learn stuff about business. And then an opening came up for a temporary position in one of the other parts of the business. So it was with like our credit cards department. And so they put me forward to actually do the face-to-face training. Never any formal experience doing training, but went into it. And so that was kind of my first proper L&D role, if you will.
Wow. I can't help but to laugh when you mentioned with Japan that that was your dipping your toe in, because what an experience that actually didn't hinder you in the way that it could have, right? So it easily could have been like, okay, I'm never doing anything like this ever again.
Absolutely. And
you know, yeah.
For me, the biggest times that you learn is when you fail.
Yeah.
For me, that's the real thing. When times are good, I feel really uncomfortable. It's when things go wrong that I really thrive.
Yeah.
So, I mean, things that we'll touch on later, you know, when we look at Japan, that was chaos.
Yeah.
That was absolute chaos. But you kind of go, look, if I can survive from that and I'm still alive, I'm still breathing.
Right.
That's pretty good. I can do other things. Other things that don't go according to plan that kind of drive me. Awards.
Yeah.
So awards is bizarrely a big part of that has become my identity.
Yeah.
Because every year since 2016, I think it is now, I've always been up for an award. Well, at least one award. And the first time I was up for awards, I was up for two different ceremonies, two awards. And beforehand, I thought, wow, what if I'm the first person to win both awards? What do I have to do an acceptance speech? I better make sure that my, you know, tuxedo looks nice. Better make sure I have a shave. And I had all this stuff hyped up. And the best thing was I didn't even place in both of them.
Wow.
And it was the most beautifully humbling slap in the face that I could ever desire. Because it made me realize that you really have to put in the effort in order to actually win.
Right.
Like you've really got to look at what you're doing, how you're doing, the impact that you have. Because you can look at what you do on a small scale and think that's great. But when you look on a bigger scale and really think, what do you want in your career? You realize it's quite a lot. And
that's really good. Yeah, I would say, John, that really captures my attention most with this story, which I know our listeners, I'm hoping we're capturing going, wow, that is definitely not a straight line that you endured to even get to the beginnings of your L&D career. But what captures me is the mindset and your perspective. So that harkens back to what happened in Japan and even coming back to the banking and taking a different position. You could have done so many other things. You could have said, you know, this is beneath me. You could have said, this completely broke me. I don't want anything close to that because it reminds me of failure. I mean, it is not easy to come across folks like yourself that willingly choose to look at things as opportunistic and to look at it as a growth opportunity more than anything else. That's really what's capturing my attention right now, is that's not an easy mindset to behold. And for you to choose that and go, okay, what else can I do with what I have, rather than just, oh, let me push this to the side. Because I've been guilty of that myself in the past. And I know too many people that have a similar situations that just, you know, oh, this hurt me. I'm going the other way. Oh, I can't stand this. This reminds me of that. And to embrace it, that's the thing I've learned more recently in life. And for you to have that, I think for so long in your life, I think not only commends you, but plays a huge role in why you took the steps that you did, why you end up, you know, on the path that you are now. I mean, that's, to me, that's just incredible. That's really incredible, just because I don't know about you and in the folks there in the UK, if that's more common thinking, but in my life experience, I've not come across folks like yourself that are with that perspective. So that's really neat. And if anything from our audience, I hope you guys understand what that kind of power can do for you. Just to look at the world in that different light and to embrace the chaos and embrace failure, because you can do so much with that still. It's not the end of the line. So that is a fun journey, John.
That's just the beginning.
I know. So with that role getting up into L&D, you know, you mentioned a few things already, like even just like your sister saying, hey, why don't you come check this out if you're interested? What were some aspects either in there or maybe a little bit after? And it might be a little bit after what you shared. So I would say if you want to continue the journey for us, but where or how in the midst of your journey was it that the light bulb really clicked and you decided, I'm going to take this seriously. Like, this is the real deal. I like this. I want to do more of this. How can I, you know, move forward in this niche, if you will? So share us with that.
So for me, this new role, so the temporary one, I was doing it was a 6-month secondment.
Okay.
6 months of comment turned into 3 years. So I was doing face-to-face. Terrible wage, toxic environments. Oh. And the thing was, I didn't know better. And it did, like, it grinds you down. And then I got through to somebody who was saying, oh, I need to do something online. I need an online course. Yeah. For this particular thing, because our people are in different parts of the country.
Yeah.
And so they were like, oh, we've got this thing called Captivate. And I was like, right. So like, can you learn it and create something? And that was my first kind of dabble into it.
Wow.
And then at the same time, Steve Jobs was just unveiling the iCloud. And I was watching the Apple presentation.
Yeah.
And it was, how is he using animation, transition, really subtle things in his presentation that wasn't a bunch of bullet points?
Right.
But it got things across. And so it was this beautiful serendipity of that and this project. And I just started creating. And I started going, this is really fun. Like, it's great telling this story and also not dealing with toxic people face to face. This has probably got something to it. And then I was doing research, and then I was looking more into, right, what's the different types of software? What's pedagogy, as I was calling it?
Yeah.
Pedagogy, however you wanted to call it. Right. What is this? And then, you know, this was in the days where it was difficult to find things about, you know, what you really want to learn about. Nowadays, it's fantastic because so many people are sharing resources that you can get hold of.
Right.
Back then, it was tricky. So just spending evenings, spending weekends, just spending so much time learning this craft.
Yeah.
And then I applied for a job as an e-learning developer.
Yeah.
I was really winging it. I'm not going to lie. I was really winging it. Thankfully, they bought into it and they were like, yeah, he will do for us. So I started out creating from just booklets, making booklets into e-learning courses. And I'll put my hand up now. If you're listening on the podcast, I've got my hand up. They were awful. They were terrible. They were so word heavy. They were really bad for accessibility. They were terrible at colors and stuff like that. The experience was bad, but that's how you start. And that's how you learn your craft. You start getting inspiration from things. You start looking at different organizations and what they're doing. I was looking at companies like Sweetrush. How are they creating? Also, Virtual College here in the UK. How are they doing this stuff? And as I progressed through that, I actually got a job then with Virtual College. So a real all-out e-learning company. And that really took me to the next level because I was getting exposure to, wow, so we've got a standards department who check to make sure the courses actually work okay. We've got a graphics department to make sure it looks great.
Mm-hmm.
Actually starting to talk to the industry. And I think throughout this kind of chat that we're having, there's key tips. Tip number one, talk to the industry. Talk to people within it and get inspiration. Okay. You look at people like Kath Ellis, insane amounts of respect for her. Love her like a sister. She makes some of the most beautiful, but also thought-provoking e-learning courses that there are.
Yeah.
Be inspired by people because you're trying to create solutions. You can only create what you really know about.
Right.
So it's also take inspiration from what other organizations are doing. What's Nike doing? You know, what's their social campaigns looking like?
Yeah.
How are people getting engaged with things like Supreme? Mm-hmm. Why are people interested in crossovers? What does that mean in terms of learning? Because the fact is that we expect a consumer grade experience as learners.
Yeah.
So why is it that I'm super engaged with the Apple site that it's now designed to really draw me into the features of the new iPhone? Okay, great. Take inspiration. How do I recreate that in Evolve, Elucidat, Rise? But also looking at doing a Google search, hashtag articulate rise, hashtag rise. Who's doing amazing things?
Yeah.
And taking that inspiration. So for me, really going through that whole process of, you know, being in Virtual College, starting from instructional designer to lead instructional designer to instructional design manager, that was really a progression for me because it was just exposing myself to the industry at that time. And that's when I started being up for awards.
Yeah.
Because I was exposing, I was doing more, doing bigger things. But me then compared to me now, that was nothing. And that's the evolution is you've got to understand that you in 5 years, 10 years, your brain's going to change. The thoughts that you have about learning is going to change. But it's also you had to figure out what is your next step of your career. And then go whole hog at it.
That's beautifully said. Yeah, couldn't agree more. The exposure, the connection. And for those of you listening, we'll get into how to possibly follow and connect with John toward the end here, but don't be hesitant to reach out to others that are in the industry, you know?
And I think it's also share your ideas. Okay, if you really want to progress, if you want to be a head of learning, if you want to be a CLO, if you want to have your own shop, something you really have to do is share your ideas and not just post on LinkedIn or on Articulate Forum. You need to appear on webinars and podcasts. Now, something that I like to coin this as is the Kendrick Lamar effect. Okay, sounds weird, but here's why. Kendrick Lamar in his very early career appeared everywhere. Every hip hop, pop, whatever song, there was a feature from Kendrick Lamar. You need to try and do that if you want to get your voice out. I had to do that early in my career because I thought, right, I want to try and be more than just myself. I want to try and be a brand. Because I went into freelancing. I was my own brand. So I had to realize I am a brand. All of us are brands. So reaching out to podcasts, give them props. Say, I love your podcast. Really love your insight in this particular episode. If you ever need a guest, I'd love to help. Vast majority going to blank you. But those that do want to get involved, you can really start to really move with those. I probably started with nothing. Then I got one. Then I started two. Then I was doing like five a month.
Wow.
But it's just realize what you want to talk about.
Yeah.
You know, and the more you get into them, the more easy those conversations happen.
Yeah.
So it's
more and more natural. Yeah.
Exactly.
And that helps with the exposure. It's very circular in that aspect. You know, not to bring faith into the conversation, but you know, it just reminds me of that, you know, pouring in a cup and overflowing, and it's that cyclical piece of it. If you're constantly immersed in it, then that's what you're going to be giving back out. And so it just works, but you have to be able to immerse yourself in it and have that willingness in addition to wanting to put your voice out there. So Absolutely. Nicely put, John. So philosophical. Let me ask you this. And again, you kind of mentioned this a little bit already, but now that we've seen to the point of where you were like, okay, this is the real deal. I'm going full throttle. And even to the point that, you know, you're starting to get nominated for awards and whatnot. What were, looking back, do you think were the clear, I hate to say clear cut because it's not always clear cut, but what would you say are the stepping stones for you that you can pinpoint almost like milestones to some aspect of the education, the experience, the connections, you know, very specific people. And if not, maybe resources, maybe there's a specific tool or webinar or book or something that as you progressed, you hit these pieces that helped you build up along your pathway, in addition to everything else that was, you know, taking place in your life at the time.
Yeah. I mean, big ones for me is looking at people that I saw that were prominent in the industry. So how do you emulate them?
Mm-hmm.
You kind of go through, you know, a bit of their history and see what have they done. And Right. Really for me, it was looking at, right, I need to talk to the industry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. I need to have things on my CV that are, you know, going to be important to potential employers and also make Right. Me unique.
Yes.
So one of these was, right, I need to network more.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
One of the most prominent networks at the time was the e-learning network.
Yes.
They had a face-to-face gathering. I managed mm-hmm. to get sign off to go there, went there, chatted to the directors, chat.
Mm-hmm.
How do I become a director?
Yes.
Public vote. Okay. So there's going to be a public vote. That mm-hmm. means that I need to drum up people
yeah.
who are going to want to vote for me.
Right.
Right. So that's the task. So yeah. I put on an event. For yes. people who were members, mm-hmm. but also people that wanted to become potential members.
Nice.
So that I yeah. could talk to them, get over my ideas, get over my thoughts, connect.
Right. Yeah.
It's about putting that time. That was time, that was effort, but I got onto the board of directors.
Yes.
Great. Gives me more connections, let me have exposure
yes.
to this industry. Yeah. So that was a thing. And that's also now on my CV.
Yeah.
Resume for all my lovely folks in the US.
Yes.
So there's that. There's also looking at, you know, we talked about Kendrick, mm-hmm. but also talk about culture. Okay.
Yeah.
How do you make yourself unique? Mm-hmm. Quite a few years ago, we had the Ice Bucket Challenge.
Yep.
Okay. Why was the Ice Bucket Challenge, you know, interesting, mm-hmm. prominent? Mm-hmm. Is because it put onus on people. You got called out.
Yeah.
Okay. So take that principle,
mm-hmm.
relate it to learning. And yeah. I created this thing called Want It Wednesday. So what was Want It Wednesday? Want It Wednesday was you do a video on your phone providing one tip on a yeah. Wednesday, and then you nominate two people. So it's that calling people out. Then those people, they nominate people. They nominate yeah. people again. Da, 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 da. Expansion.
Yeah.
That's had, it's over 150,000 views. Organizations such as Credit Suisse, Microsoft, LinkedIn mm-hmm. have got involved because we have the knowledge. We're open to sharing, but we want something right. unique. We want
something different
to give it.
Yeah.
And this was super accessible. Everybody's got their phone,
mm-hmm.
you got your LinkedIn account.
Yeah.
And it just made it super simple. So that yeah. was something that also gave me exposure to people by them saying, really love this idea. Who created it?
Who did it? Yeah.
This guy called John. Okay, let's have a look into this. And right. So that started also increasing my LinkedIn count and the amount of followers I had.
Yeah.
Because quite a long time ago, I had like maybe 100 followers. And now we're close to 10,000.
Right.
So it's giving people a reason to do stuff, being novel. People like novelty.
Yes.
So that was a big, big thing for me. In addition to this, you know, during COVID, understanding that prior to COVID, I was in the United Arab Emirates. So after virtual college, I went freelance. From freelance, I then actually moved out to the United Arab Emirates. I was living in the desert and heading up learning for one of the big universities there. I love connecting with people, physically connecting with people in a bar, in a cafe, wherever it is. It didn't exist out there, but where it did exist, you had to pay for it, which was dirty. It felt wrong to me. So like with, you know, everything, if there's something in the way, do something about it.
Yeah.
So I simply said to my network, hi, I'm going to be at this bar. I'm going to drive an hour and a half from the desert to Dubai. I'm going to be here, this place, this time. If you want to come along, come join me. Lots of people thought it was going to be a sales scheme. Or I was going to try and charge them, which was the usual in the area. Right. Six people turned up and it was great. I gave them so much information, so many thoughts, feelings about what's going on in L&D. I gave away my course and they gave that feedback. So that was the reviews. So then next time, 17 people, time after that, 30 something, time after that.
Bigger. Word of mouth. Yeah.
Exactly. Because it's like, oh, there's now a safe environment whereby you can meet people, connect and talk L&D. People were getting jobs, you know, from this, which from was amazing. And then COVID hit. And so then I thought, okay, let's continue that. But because it's online, it doesn't have to just be the UAE. Right. Let's open this up. So that's when the Global L&D Zoom Meetup, that was its original name. Oh, such a specific name, was born. And so that had 30 something in the beginning. And then as COVID got deeper and deeper, more and more people came to this because it was just that outlet. You were kept mildly sane from just chatting with people from all over the globe. And there were times when we maxed out the Zoom because we had over 100 people trying to get
in. Join,
And this was every Friday, just turn up. And I made so many mistakes trying to create Eventbrite pages and then Zoom meetings and so many things. But when we talk about those different stepping stones, that was a massive part of my identity.
Yeah.
And something you really had to realize is you are constantly evolving and your identity is changing. You know, I got this feedback many moons ago when I was chatting to somebody who owned quite a successful business. And they said, every 2 to 3 years, I have to change identity.
Yeah.
So I've gone from One Tip Wednesday, John, to Virtual College Award, John, to GLDC, John. And you constantly have to evolve yourself.
Yeah.
So those have been some really big things for me. But I think also, you know, looking at people that you really respect, it's understanding what have they done and what do you potentially need to do in order to be at that level.
Yeah.
So, and that's something that always, always drives me.
That's beautiful. I couldn't agree more. The evolving feature, that factor, that's not easy to come by, and being able to recognize it as a factor of that way of life, you know, wanting to do this kind of career and make something of yourself even more, exposure is definitely a huge piece of it, but it's that factor. It's things are constantly changing and you have to be willing to change along the way. And quite honestly, it should be that way. You know, you should be constantly evolving to become the better and better version of yourself. Regardless if you want to look at it personally or professionally, I mean, that's just, hopefully you're that kind of person that just wants to be better all the time. And so with that, that comes with the territory. So I love hearing your story so much. I can't tell you how much I love hearing it. It is just fantastic for you to identify that and to hear what you personally did. You went through each of these areas of evolving, and look what it's done for you. You know, and the fact that you were learning, I just love the fact that you mentioned, you know, like you didn't have everything together. And that's something that it gets a little frustrating, because I've come across folks that just think, oh, I can't do anything until I have X, Y, Z lined up. And the reality is no, because one, the world doesn't work in this perfect, clear way. Connecting with folks, which you are so talented at, and I love your heart, the fact that you just genuinely love that. It's messy. People are messy. And so rather than just knocking it off or feel like you have to put this front, you know, you're embracing it as well. So that's another version of the chaos that you're really good with embracing. But your stepping stones for this, I mean, that's very tremendous. And again, not easy, but the fact that you again choose to look at it or everything as a learning opportunity just helps you build that evolution. And so something to definitely, you know, for the audience to take in, I mean, regardless of what you are trying to accomplish, just know that you do have to evolve, and that whatever you're doing now is just going to build up what that next step is going to be, whether you can see that next stepping stone or not. So that's really awesome. All right, John, let me ask you this then. For someone who may have a similar background to you, what would you recommend to them? You know, if they're trying to get into L&D and maybe they've done similar to you where school was not great, they just got whatever they needed just because maybe their parents told them, hey, get a degree because it's good for you in the world as a whole. And maybe they went off and decided to, I don't know, teach English in South Korea or something. What would you tell someone like that, that maybe not realizing, I had this on a different guest. I think it was Mariana that, you know, mentioned that sometimes the signs are there and you're not realizing it and kind of being told, hey, L&D is probably a really good niche for you, and they're not really honed in on it yet. But as they're realizing that, what would you have told yourself back then? You know, obviously, I wouldn't say skip what you've undergone, because that's taught you and that's been very valuable to you. But at the same time, there might be some heartaches that, to some degree, I can't say they're unnecessary because that's not true, but if you could have avoided them or learned from someone else prior to going through that, that might have been more beneficial to you and may have given you a little bit more of a boost, you know, to be a little further than where you thought you would be. What would you share with them? What would you say?
Taste as many things as possible. Really do.
Yeah.
It's that thing of, especially when we talk about L&D, mm-hmm. there's been such an influx of instructional designers.
Yeah.
Instructional design is like one of 100 different roles that are possible within L&D. It's just the most talked about.
Yes.
It's about tasting. You know, if you are in a bog, mm-hmm. taste things. You know, it's a big thing for me. I've gone from being in banking, English teacher, property banking, face-to-face trainer, instructional designer, freelancer, so owned a business, heading up digital learning in another country, talent manager, so people, and a bit of kind of recruity kind of stuff. Yeah. Now I head up marketing. And then potentially I'm going to move through into chief brand officer, because I'm tasting stuff. Because, you find what stuff you like.
Yes.
You know, and it's that thing of just keep on tasting. You don't have to have your stuff together.
Yeah.
Nearly swore then. I restricted myself. But find things that you're interested in. How does that relate to your skills? What skills do you need? What skills can you fulfill for free? Because there's so much information out there. There's so much stuff that you can get for free. But also understand that hustle is real. And if you want to do stuff, it's going to take up your evenings, your weekends, your free time. And it's that. It's understanding that if you are in a bog, in a rut, start tasting things. You know, you got an interest in NFTs, which are big at the moment. Great. Yeah. You choose search. What is an NFT? How do I create an NFT? What is the most prominent on NFT? How do I create an NFT? Great. You've had a weekend's worth and you now know. Does it still interest you? No. Move through to your next thing.
Next thing. Yeah.
What have you wasted? You've found out more things about NFTs. But the weird thing is, you might be able to then put that into a job that you have in the future. Because if you think about NFTs, how do you make tickets for events in the future non-duplicated so that people don't get like StubHub kind of ripped off?
Right.
Two really different worlds. But because you did that weekend back in 2023, you're now knowing for that conversation 2025. Because you tasted.
Yes.
And so it's taste. Find out what interests you and just taste. You don't have to dedicate a year.
Right.
Dedicate a month.
That is the most marvelous advice. That's fantastic. Yeah, I couldn't agree more, because regardless of, but again, it comes from perspective and mindset. It is going in there and thinking, okay, I'm curious about this. But allowing yourself to be curious, dig into it. And then at the end of it, even if you find out that, okay, this is not my cup of tea, you actually did learn something, and not get upset and be like, oh, that was a total waste of my time. I could have been doing X, Y, and Z. When reality is, you have just obtained something to know yourself better, which will help in evolving yourself. Right? To be more geared toward whatever that is, you just know that that's not one of those things. And yes, Don, you were absolutely brilliant to mention the fact, the reality is, I would say in the grand majority, because I have had similar experiences where you think, okay, well, that was great. And you don't think twice about it. And you just never know. But typically, I would say, if you want to say karma, whatever, but down the line, something will come up. And it's amazing how that little bit of knowledge that you thought was a total waste can actually be very beneficial when connecting with someone else and giving them insight that you actually know what you're talking about. It's none of that fake it till you make it. It's genuine. You actually went through this a long time ago. It wasn't your thing. Totally get it. But somebody brings it up and you can actually speak in, you know, intelligently about it. And that might open doors for you that you just would never think otherwise. So that could listen to you all day, you and your advice and guidelines and suggestions. It's so fantastic. So I'm going to wrap things up. Thank you for sharing all of your incredibly valuable information. I know you still have like truckloads that you could easily unfold, but for the time and everything, I so thank you. And I will definitely have to have you on another time again. For our listeners and viewers, where may they find you, follow you, and all of that fun stuff in the social media world? What is like your Twitter handle, LinkedIn, and all that?
So I pretty much live on LinkedIn. So find me on LinkedIn. So John Hinchliffe, H-I-N-C-H-L-I-F-F-E, because a lot of people spell it incorrectly.
Yeah.
And in terms of work, you can find me at JamPan. So jam-pan.com.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much, John. That concludes everything for today. And I say today because we'll see about sometimes in the future. I seriously cannot thank you enough for your time, your imparting of grand knowledge and experience. I really hope that my listeners and viewers got the amount that I'm feeling right now, just from, and I know your story from before, but it's always very impactful. And so I just say to our listeners and viewers, until next time, continue stepping onward. Thank you all so much.